channel4tv.com press box at Cricket Chase Senior Derek Paris. Sangamo power rankings are in. Leaves the CS8, and we have a change at the top.
A new number one, as you had teased during the Sangamo power rankings. And we talked about this after the slate of games on Friday. There's concerns with SHG's secondary. There's also concerns with a deep threat for SHG in the passing game. It's really hard, obviously, to replace a Sam Bonasinga, Albert Okwuegbunam. And if you put Rochester and SHG on the same field this Friday, we came to the consensus that Rochester would win because of those three wide receivers, with how well Nick Baker is playing, and an improved Rochester defense. The reason we have Rochester as the number one team in the CS8 power rankings for week number three.
It's real hard to replace Avery Andrews, who was in that secondary last year and you know, went man up on Colin Stallworth and shut him down in that matchup. That's the kind of effort you've got to get to take away the weapons that Rochester has. I mean, this was it for me. MacArthur was at Sacred Heart Griffin this past weekend, and MacArthur essentially had two. One was a broken play that Amir Brummett threw to Armand on just a heave that he scored for a touchdown. One was a legit deep ball, and then there was another play that Amir created time for himself and then threw a touchdown to another wide receiver that they had. If MacArthur is able to get, I mean, they just had, like, Armand Brummett is a super talented kid, and Amir Brummett is a super talented kid, and they just out-athleted the Griffin kids in the defensive backfield on those plays.
And what does Rochester have?
A lot of super athletic kids.
Athletes. And last year, the Cox brothers and Stallworth, they're only juniors.
Yeah.
They've gotten bigger, they've gotten faster, they've gotten stronger, they're more experienced in the offensive system. And Rochester's opened up the season with Lanphier and Glenwood, but in those two games, those wide receivers have looked prolific. And in these power rankings that we'll be dropping on the site, I mentioned, you know, is there a trio of wide receivers in the state as talented as Deontay, Avante Cox, and Colin Stallworth? Because all three of those guys are Division I caliber wide receivers, and they are capable of a game-breaking play at any moment of the game.
It's week three, and SHG and Rochester play in week seven, so things can change. But last year, when they played week nine, the feeling I had going in was, could Rochester get enough stops to give themselves a chance to win? And this year, I feel like the question is going to be, can Griffin get enough stops to give themselves a chance to win? I just don't think that SHG's passing game has the weapons to keep Rochester from stacking the box in a way that they're going to be able to at least get a couple stops against that run game.
And that's exactly what good teams are going to do. They're going to stack the box against SHG and force the Cyclones to pass it.
And they're, I mean, don't get me wrong, Timmy Bruneisen is very capable of throwing the ball. He proved that last year. But like you said, you lose two Division I wide receivers. And Avery was a pass catcher there too, and he's you know, playing high-level football. I don't know if Griffin can get I don't know if Griffin can get enough stops, which is crazy to say, but I don't know that Griffin will be able to get enough stops against Rochester.
To me, I think it's going to come down to, again, I mean, I'm still not totally convinced that SHG shouldn't be one just because of their line and the run game, and that's what won them the game last year against Rochester was the fact that they grinded them down, and Sam Sargent was the best player on that field, and he ran for 300 yards. There's no reason why Tremaine Lee can't do the same thing. When they have three different offensive lines that they can keep throwing at that Rochester defensive line and just keep wearing them down. And yeah, it's going to be a shootout, but Tremaine Lee has shown that he's not afraid of that. He can score 90-yard touchdowns every single time.
I just think that the Rochester defense is better this year than it was last year. I think Tremaine Lee is tremendous.
A lot better.
I think I love watching that kid play. I love watching him run.
I want to see what the Rochester defense does against Gavin Webb before I decide.
We'll find out this weekend.
Because that Southeast offense is probably the best one that Rochester will face up to this point of the season.
It's not like the SHG defense, but it's still capable of putting up points.
So let's go to number two. We already talked about that Cyclones rushing attack, but here are some numbers to just show you and give you a vantage point of how good that SHG running attack has been. Through 2 weeks, 791 yards of rushing yards with 11 touchdowns, led by Tremaine Lee's 374 yards and Tristan Blair's 181 yards. Now, we all knew that SHG was going to run the ball and run the ball heavy, but almost 800 yards through two games is pretty magnificent.
Yep. And, you know, Jacksonville's a top four or five team in the conference. MacArthur is not, but they were, I really think MacArthur is going to give some teams trouble this week or this season. I'm not taking anything. When I say that I think that Rochester is going to be the favorite in that game, I'm not taking anything away from Griffin's ability to run the ball. It is elite. I just think there's more elite playmakers on the other side of the ball in that Rochester offense.
I just think it speaks to how good Rochester is. Yeah. And there's no need to discuss it more. I mean, we talked about SHG's weaknesses, the secondary and the lack of a passing game. Number three, Eisenhower, an absolute breeze against Lincoln in week two. They returned back-to-back kickoffs to start that game, seized momentum from the get-go. Caleb Doherty and Stephon Bobbitt, they linked up for three touchdowns in abbreviated action. So those weapons for Eisenhower, they're legitimate. And we're going to find out how good Eisenhower is in week three as they travel to Jacksonville on Friday night.
Bryson Bonds is the name that stands out for me, the running back that I think a lot of people are going to learn more about as the season goes on from Eisenhower.
Number four, we've got Glenwood. Really tough matchup against Rochester in week two, but Glenwood did look pretty good against what I think is a solid Southeast team. And a little change of scenery for Glenwood this week. Derek and I talked about it earlier in the show. Glenwood's going to be playing that game at the middle school level because of the grub infestation. And I think Glenwood's going to do somewhat of a throwback night to try to honor that Glenwood era in which they won a state championship when they played at that field in 1999. So Glenwood's going to return back to the middle school where the glory days were.
Something tells me they will leave the mascot that was accompanying that team.
Yeah, I think so.
At that point.
The one that accompanies the Washington football franchise?
That's the one. I think they might honor their old day team. But
they'll stick to the Titans. Yeah. Maybe alumni will come back, though.
You might hear the chant, but I think they'll probably leave that part of it out.
Litany of turnovers really cost Glenwood in that game against Rochester. And against that offensive attack for the Rockets, you can't afford to do that. Number five, we have a switch up here. Southeast jumps Jacksonville to move into the number five spot. And we talked, I think it was on last week's show, about Tremaine Lee and that wow factor that he possesses. I think Gavin Webb owns that similar type of trait. You go out, watch this kid play, and he just make special plays happen. And through 2 weeks, he's accounted for 11 total touchdowns, both through the air and on the ground. Now, as his game translates to the college level, I don't think he's a quarterback, but he could very easily play slot receiver and defensive back. And what makes him so special is that not only does he play quarterback, but he's probably Southeast's best defensive back too, going up against the other team's best wide receiver.
I mean, that's what he's been for them the past couple seasons, is a very good defensive back. It's rare to see at the CSA level your quarterback lining up on that side of the ball and doing it. But when you've got the capability that Gavin Webb does, you need that if you're Southeast.
And through the air, Adrian Green, Mark Johnson, Travion Williams, all three capable wide receivers that have really emerged for Matt Lauber's squad. And I know Lauber talked to both you and Isaac. He was insistent on that defense improving. They did so last week against Lanphier.
And we'll have Matt.
This week they got to play Rochester.
So that's going to be tough.
That's going to be tough.
Yeah. But they were swarming around the ball. And if you watch Big Nasty yesterday up on channel 1450.com, Southeast had multiple dudes just laying hits and big time hits.
Matt Lauber, by the way, will be on with the Kirker and Coach podcast tomorrow. We'll have that up. I'm going to record it tomorrow morning with him. We'll have it up later in the day tomorrow. I'm interested to talk to him about that because what he's done with that Southeast program in the couple years that he's been here really has been impressive.
Said it a couple of times. I think it's worthy of saying again. I think he's one of the best young coaches in this area, given what he's been able to do with that Southeast program on the east side. Number six, we've got Jacksonville. I think this is a team with a lot of questions surrounding it. They've got some youth. What they do have is a really massive offensive line, and I saw that group for the first time last week against Springfield. Those guys are big, and Clay Wood's going to come back from a one-game suspension this week against Eisenhower. One player is going to make or break a team, but Avery Dugan has another game under his belt. You got Wood coming back. Jacksonville could very well jump up in these power rankings due to that game against Eisenhower on Friday night.
Still just don't know what Jacksonville is.
And unknowns. Like, I came away from Friday's game against Springfield not knowing, because I thought Springfield outplayed Jacksonville, but Jacksonville just made the big plays down the stretch to seal the win.
I still don't know how effectively Jacksonville can run the ball. I don't know how good they are defensively. I just haven't got a real measure on what that team is yet.
It'll be a good measuring stick against Eisenhower, who maybe isn't the most disciplined. So it could be a shootout in terms of getting that offense going and getting every Dugan more involved and trying to figure out if he needs to hand it off to whoever their running back is this week and give it to Clay Wood or try to find James White outside, who is one of the best, is probably the best receiver in the league.
He's inching closer and closer to breaking the Jacksonville all-time record in receptions, I believe. Yeah. So that's something to keep an eye on for Friday night's game if James White becomes the Jacksonville all-time leader in receptions. Transitioning on to number seven, we've got Springfield High. It was really a prove-it game for Springfield, and we were talking during the break several minutes ago about what Springfield might have to do the rest of the way. Springfield's got MacArthur tonight, and then from here on
Friday
out,
night.
Or on Friday night.
If they're playing tonight, we're in trouble.
Yeah.
I kind of wish they were.
I did too with the weather.
So Springfield's got MacArthur week three. I think Lanphier after that?
Yeah, it was...
But then they end the season. Yeah, then Springfield ends the season, and this is in no particular order because I don't have the schedule up in front of me, but they got SHG, Rochester...
Eisenhower. Yeah, it goes Eisenhower, Rochester, SHG, I believe, or SHG, Rochester.
So if Springfield wants to make the playoffs, the Senators are going to have to win these games that, with their talent, they should be at this point of the year. But again, that MacArthur game is no gimme. But Springfield goes to number seven after that loss to Jacksonville.
Springfield High has to win essentially their next four, probably, against MacArthur, Southeast, Glenwood, and Lanphier before closing the season against Eisenhower, Sacred Heart Griffin, and Rochester.
Already have that one win against Lincoln that came in week one. To round out the power rankings, we've got MacArthur followed by Lanphier, and coming in last is Lincoln.
I'm telling you, I think MacArthur gets somebody. MacArthur beat somebody.
Upset potential.
Yeah, MacArthur,
sure.
MacArthur beat somebody that's higher than eighth on this list.
What do you think Amir and Armand's potential is on the football field?
Division one.
Division one DB, no doubt.
Yeah, a wide receiver maybe.
With the way that the game is trending and a lot of teams looking for longer, taller, more physical defensive backs, those kids are 6'3", 6'4", now as juniors. They could play DB at the D1 level, I think.
They're Division one.
Athletes.
Football players and their Division I basketball players.
Yeah.
And they've got two full seasons to grow and mature. They're going to be a complete handful.
Those two, those broken plays that they can put together, they just make you sit back and say, that's Amir, ridiculous what they just
fun
did.
To watch.
Amir broke out of a pocket, went all the way to the right towards the SHG sideline, cut it all the way back, got all the way over to the MacArthur sideline within about, I don't know, maybe 15 yards. Like, he literally cut laterally back all the way across field before cutting it up. And it got, the play got, it was a touchdown. He ran, it was like a 78-yard touchdown. And it got called back for a hold that came at the, like, tail end of it. So it brought it back towards around midfield or so. But the hold did not create what that whole portion of the play. He created that. And that's a junior against SHG at SHG who literally just
basically
outran everybody.
One on 11.
Yeah. That's what he did. That's exactly what he did.
Lanphier at nine, I think it's going to be a pretty long year for the Lions. I just don't think there's some talent out on the field, but they just don't have much depth at all. And they were just dominated by Southeast. And you just don't see a lot of things coming to fruition for that Lanphier team. And that's too bad. I mean, they've got some skill kids, like I said, but just not a lot of depth. And when you're going through the rigors of a CS8 schedule, it's tough to maintain that for a 10-week slate.
And Lincoln is 10?
Lincoln is 10.
And that is your CSA Power Rankings. Darren Powell, State Farm Power Rankings. Be sure to give Darren a call, 217-792-3371. All of your insurance and financial needs. We'll take a break. When we come back, we'll preview the Cubs game against the Milwaukee Brewers tonight as we wrap up the channel1450.com press box. We'll send you out to the news and then send you to Milwaukee for some baseball tonight. We'll be right back.